the podcast from Belmont Chapel in Exeter, sharing the story, living the life. For more information, go to belmontchapel.org.uk.
Okay, lovely to see you all. Happy New Year. We are going to have a look at a bit of the Bible together in just a moment. There are going to be three, I'm going to show you three pictures to start with, okay? And they've got places on them, and they've got people in them. And what I'd like you to do is to just have a look at the pictures and see who's in the picture and what do you think they're doing, okay? Who's in the picture and what do you think they're up to? And you might need to chat with the people next to you. Some of them are not very difficult. One or two of them, you might need a bit of thinking time. So here we are. First one takes place in a little villagey town place that you will have heard of, I'm sure, called Bethlehem. Okay? So here it is. Right, so who's in the picture and what are they doing? And as soon as you think you've got it, Sarah, you need to run around with a microphone. See if you can find it. You've got a hand down here, look. Just down here. If you can you find your way down there?
I can.
Well done. Okay, so who's in the picture and what are they doing?
Hello.
Who's in there?
Baby Jesus stable.
Jesus in the stable.
Baby Jesus in the stable. Fantastic. And what's going on here? What's just happened? Who can tell me what's just happened? Have we got another hand just there, Sarah? I think we have.
Bethlehem. Jesus has been born.
Jesus has been born in Bethlehem.
In Bethlehem, yeah, well thank done. You very much. Right, so that's it. That's this picture, isn't it? We've got baby Jesus, we've got his mum and his dad, and it looks like the innkeeper and Mrs. Innkeeper are probably there as well. And don't know what the rabbits are doing there, but we won't worry about that. And Jesus has just been born. Well, in this morning's Bible passage... Sorry, what was that?
Baby Jesus.
Jesus, absolutely. In this morning's Bible passage, baby Jesus has grown up a little bit. He's probably toddler Jesus by now. Probably about your age, actually. Jesus, probably about your age. Okay, so here's the second one. That's Bethlehem. The second one takes place very close to Bethlehem, but in a much, much bigger city, a place called Jerusalem. So here's the picture. Who's in it? And what's their job? Who do you think this person is and what do you think their job is? As soon as you think you know what it might be, stick your hand up and Sarah will come to you. We've got a hand right at the back, far right.
King Herod.
King Herod.
It is King Herod.
Absolutely, well done.
It is King Herod. And actually, what King Herod does, the clue is in his title. He's king, isn't he? He's the person who's in charge. And he's in charge of the country where Jesus was born. But the problem with Herod was he was a really horrible king, a really nasty man, and everybody was afraid of him, and he did some really horrible things. He even got rid of members of his own family. One of his wives and three of his children disappeared. He was a terrible man, was Herod. And if we look around the world today, sometimes we can see leaders in the world who are terrible to their people, who don't look after their people at all. And actually, the story that we're going to read about in a moment reminds us that even though there are places in the world where there are terrible leaders, God still has a plan and a purpose that he's working out. So we'll come to that in a moment. And then our third one, well, our third picture is in a place that the Bible just calls the East. Now, it's not as far as India and it's not as far as Bangkok, but it is in the East. And it's probably 1,000 kilometres away from Jerusalem. So a long, long way. And it could have been in Iraq or Iran or Saudi Arabia, somewhere like that. We don't really know. It's just the East. But here's the picture. Who's in it? And what do you think they're doing? What do you think this picture is? Have a quick chat with somebody who's near you if you're not sure. Who's in it? And what do you think they're doing? We've got a hand. Okay.
It's the wise men.
It's the wise men.
It is the
yeah,
wise
what do you
men.
Think they're doing, yeah. Daniel?
Looking at the star.
Yeah, they're looking at a map of the stars, I think, aren't they?
That's right. It is a map of the stars. That's right. So it's the wise men, We often talk about the three wise men. The Bible doesn't say there were three of them. It says they brought three gifts, but who knows how many of them were carrying the gifts? We don't know. But we imagine there are three of them. And what they're doing, they're clever people. They look at the heavens at night and they look at the stars, and they probably have made maps of where the stars are. And the thing is about these, let's say they were like astronomers, really. The Bible calls them magi. They probably, because they knew the stars so well, as soon as they saw something that looked different up in the sky, they'd have thought, hang on a minute, that's not the same as our map. What's going on there? That's interesting. And they probably had heard the prophecies that God was going to send a new king to his people in Israel. And so they put the star that they saw, whatever it was, it could have been a comet or a supernova or a constellation of planets, I don't know what it was, but it's just perhaps a miracle from God. They saw it and they thought about what they'd read and they thought, we need to go and find out about this. We need to go and understand what this is about. And so off they went on their 1,000-kilometer journey. And that is the background to the story we're going to read in the Bible. So if you would like to grab the green Bibles that are in front of you, please. And we're going to read it all together out loud. Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. And it's on page 914. Now, if you're not able to read for any reason, just listen to the words, and we have some pictures that are going to come up on the screen to help us, on the computer down there, that's going to help us imagine what the scene might have been like in this bit of the Bible story. And those three pictures that we've just looked at, they're all part of the background that we'll find mentioned right at the start of the reading. So if we've got Matthew chapter 2, verse, starting at the beginning of the chapter, verse 1, we'll read out loud altogether the first 12 verses. Here we go. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Lovely. Thank you. Thank you so much for helping me with that reading. Now, I think at the beginning of the year, a Bible story which is all about a journey is a really good thing for us to think about, because we're all on a journey, aren't we, in our lives and with God. And I wonder, in 2017, at the start of this new year, I wonder where you are in your journey with God. And I wonder if you think about the end of 2017, I know it's a long way off, but if we think about that, I wonder where we'd like to be, where we'd like to get to in our journey with God over this year. And as we think about 2017, as it sort of stretches out in front of us as like a big road, I wonder if we can already see some things that are going to be brilliant and some things that are going to be quite hard. Some things that we're really looking forward to and some things that we really wish weren't going to happen at all. I wonder if we can just picture that road in our mind as we start our journey in this new year. Well, if we can do that, I think there are maybe just two things from this passage that might help us as we think about that journey that we're all going to go on. And this is the first one. It's just the question that the wise men asked as soon as they got to Jerusalem. They didn't actually know where the king was, so they just went to the capital because that's where you'd expect to find a king, right? And they just start asking around, where is the one who's been born king of the Jews? And I just wonder if that's a question that some of us might be asking ourselves this morning. Where is he? Where is he? And for some of us, the question could be because we can't actually just reach out and touch Jesus. We can't literally see him. So sometimes, you know, with children particularly, we just think, well, where actually is Jesus? Can't see him. Where is he? So maybe it's that. Or maybe when we look at the world around us and we see what's going on and we see places like Syria and, you know, all the suffering that's in the world, maybe we just ask, well, where's Jesus in that? Where is the God of love? Where is the Prince of Peace? Where is the one who's been born King of the Jews? Well, if that's you and if you've got those kinds of questions, I would really encourage you, first of all, to keep on coming to church. Church is a great place to come if you've got questions about God. Honestly, it really is. So you're very, very welcome if you've got those questions. But I would say to you, make 2017 a year in which you really search out the answers to those questions. You really try and find out what lies behind those questions. If you're a young Belmontee, our groups, as Sarah has said, start again this week. Do you know what? Your leaders, if you're in young Belmont, your leaders love tricky questions. They do, honestly. So ask your leaders all the tricky questions that you've got in your mind about Jesus and about God that maybe you don't understand. Make 2017 the year you ask them or you ask your mum and dad to try and understand more about that. Or if you're a bit older, you might want to come to our Christianity course. We run it every single term. And as the flyer says, any questions are allowed, any questions at all. And again, the leaders of that love to have tricky questions. So if you've got those, it starts on Tuesday, the 7th of February. There's always a meal beforehand. Come along, bring your friends and ask tricky questions and see if God will show you the answers to those questions that you have. So that's the first question that we might have from what the wise men said. And here's the second point that we can finish with. Do you remember what the wise men did, the magi did, when they left the east? They left in verse 2, it said, because they wanted to go and worship the one whose star they'd seen. And finally, in verse 11, they get to do what they'd wanted to do when they set out on their journey, and they worship this little toddler. First time, Matthew chapter 2, that the word worship is used in the New Testament, and it's used for Jesus. Jesus is the one who is worth all of our worship as God in a body. And they bring these presents, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. People think they mean all kinds of different things, but what they definitely mean is that they're precious gifts. These are valuable things that the wise men are bringing. And so my question to us, if we are followers of Jesus, is what worship are we going to bring to our King in 2017? Are we just going to give him the little bits and pieces that are left at the bottom of our life's drawer? Or are we going to give him the special things, the precious things, whether it's our time or our talents or our money or our emotional engagement? Whatever it is that we have, are we going to give Jesus of our best to worship him in 2017? Because he is worth it. He has given everything for us. And four places in this church today, we've got tables which remind us that Jesus has given his life for us. The royal toddler grew up to be the crucified Messiah, the Savior of the world, the one who gave everything that we might have everything with him in his resurrection glory. What can we bring to this King in 2017? Well, we're going to worship him now, and I'm going to invite the band to come back and lead us in some sung worship, which is one great way of showing the Lord how much we love him and how much he means to us as we sing with all of our hearts and souls and bodies. But as we're singing, we're going to take up our collection, and we do that every week here in Belmont. It's another way that we can show how much God means to us. Now, this is really for church members who don't give by standing order or anything like that. So if you aren't prepared this morning to give, that's absolutely fine. Or if you're not a regular here, please just let the boxes go by. But if you want to give something, I promise you that we will use the money well to develop God's work here and to develop good causes that we support in Exeter, in Devon, in the UK and around the world. And it's part of what it means for God's people to worship the King with the best that we have.
We're going to have a time of family communion together now, and we're going to do things a little bit differently this morning. So we're going to go on a journey together, a literal journey. We're going to get out of our seats if we're able, and we're going to travel to one of the four tables in the corners of the room. Now, don't worry if you can't do that and you'd like to have the bread and the wine. Just stay seated and somebody will bring that to you. But hopefully, most of us will be able to go on this journey together. On the table, there is bread and there is wine. Bread showing us that Jesus gave his life for us. And the wine, a symbol of Jesus' blood that was shed when he died on the cross. Because Jesus went on that journey, didn't he? He went from the manger to the cross. But the journey didn't stop there. And we believe that Jesus is alive today. He's seated on his throne. And we're going to sing about that a little bit later on. But we're getting ahead of ourselves, because on this journey, we want to remember that Jesus died for us so that the bad things that we all do wrong can be forgiven and we can be friends with God again. So if you know Jesus as your Lord, as your friend, then please do take some bread and some wine. There's also some chocolate stars on the table as well. Because the wise men, didn't they? They traveled, they followed the stars. So see if you can spot the stars on the table. There's also some little gold stars, little stickers. Please take one of those. If you think it'll be helpful, so you could stick that somewhere at home to remind you to follow Jesus. Just as the wise men followed that star to Jesus. So Jesus calls us and loves us to follow him. Now, Paul said about 2017 being like a journey, a bit like a road. And this is a bit of a blank piece of paper here, 2017 at the top of it. Also, when we're moving around, if anyone would like to come and write anything on this road, anything that they would love us to pray for the journey ahead, any exciting things that you might be doing or planning in 2017, please do come and do that as well. That'll be just up on the front here with some pens. But Jesus did share his last meal with his friends, and it was a Passover meal. And the Passover meal was eaten for the very first time before God's people had a very long journey to make. It was a provision for the journey ahead. And as we travel to these communion tables, let's just have a think as we're travelling that Jesus does supply us with all that we need for the journey. He's the bread of life. He's the true vine. He's truth and light. And he's life. So as we travel, we can be thinking of things that we're sorry about. We can be bringing those to Jesus as we take the bread and the wine, or if we take a little chocolate star, let that melt in our mouths. We can taste and see just how good God is. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you so much that we can share this simple meal together, that we can go on this journey together, that we can remember the love that you have for us in sending your only Son to be born on earth, to be God with us, and to die for us. Lord, thank you. We can't begin to imagine what love that is. So we thank you that we can share this meal together. Please bless the bread and the wine to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. We just shared that simple meal together, and it is a reminder of God's love for us, isn't it? And also a reminder of those words that Jesus is the perfect light, and we try to follow him, then we'll be walking in that perfect light. Thank you for those of you who've written on the piece of paper. We'll make sure we put this up in our young family's office, and we'll make sure that these things get prayed for. So during the course of the next few months, as we have a look at what you've written. Prayer is so important as well, isn't it, for the journey. And we're going to spend a little bit of time together now thinking about the shape of that star that's on the screen, because I think that can really help us as we pray to God to start this new year. So the star shape's got that point at the top, hasn't it? I wonder, can we all make that star point at the top? And as we do that, our hands automatically point up to heaven, don't they? To God. So I wonder if we can say this little prayer together as we just make that shape. And we can say together, Father God, we thank you for the past year. As we look back, we thank you for all we have learned about you and for the blessings we have received from you. And if we look at those next two points, they're stretching out, aren't they? As we make that star shape. And that reminded me of Jesus' outstretched arms, actually, on the cross, and the love that he showed for us. So let's say this prayer together now as we stretch out our arms. I appreciate you might have to be careful doing this. Let's try and make that star shape with our arms, those middle two points, and let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we remember that you stretched out your arms on the cross so we can be forgiven. We are sorry for all the times we've done wrong things. Thank you that you are the way back to God again. And finally, we've got these two points down the bottom, haven't we? And they just reminded me of our legs and our feet standing on the ground. So I wonder, could we? I've asked you to stand up a lot, but let's stand up again if you're able. And let's just feel that firm ground under our feet and say this prayer together. Lord, as we stand today, ready for the journey of 2017, Holy Spirit, we thank you that you promise to be with us on that journey. Help us to keep in step with you. Amen. Please stay standing and I'll say this prayer. Jesus, light of the world, just as the star led the wise men to you, we pray that you would be our daily star of wonder and of perfect light, guiding our lives in 2017, showing us your way, May we always follow your light of truth in all that we do, trusting, hoping, believing in your word. Lift our eyes today and every day to see your eternal light of life shining brightly, and help us reflect your light and life and love to those we meet on the journey. Amen. As we've said, prayer is so vital, and we are going to be starting out our evening services at Belmont throughout January, starting next week, focusing in on prayer. And we wanted this to be a real all-age thing that we could do together. Now, I know not many of the little ones come out on a Sunday evening, but what we've done is we've made some prayer bags. They're suitable for families, are suitable for anyone, actually, really. So we've got several up here today if you'd like to take one now. So they're particularly suitable if you've got under 11s, but don't let that stop you. And if we run out, just let me know you'd like one and we'll make sure that we get one to you. But there's lots of exciting stuff in there for you to take home to start 2017 with loads and loads of prayer together as a family. Thank you, Jesus, that nothing can compare to you. That whatever 2017 brings, or whatever we've just had for Christmas, nothing compares to you. Lord, please bless us as we leave this place. Please bless us as we journey into another year. Lord, help us to be light and life and love to all that we meet. Amen.